Our fourth candle, I don't have a little candelabra for it, so I'm just going to hold it for right now. But again, we're talking about peace, right? And how many of you know having kids is just the most peaceful experience you've ever had, right? Oh man, how peaceful is that, right? No, right? How many of you remember the sleepless nights, right? Sleepless nights. Whether it's a newborn stage or your child has a nightmare in the middle of the night. How many of you guys have had or ever had a nightmare in the middle of the night? Right? Many of us have, right? And you guys come running into mommy and daddy's room and going, I just had a nightmare. Let me tell you exactly what happened at 2 o'clock in the morning. Right? And, so these things happen. And then, and then they get older. And they want to go out and sleep over at friends' houses. They get in the teenage years and they want to stay out late. How many of you have stayed up late waiting for your child to get home? Right? And so, again, how many of you at that age were the ones making your mom or dad stay up late? Right? So, it brings you anything but peace. But this week's message is about peace. And as we know, Jesus is named the Prince of Peace. In fact, the kids said it, but I'll go to it here if you guys will click on that screen for me. I'll go back to this here, but Ella and Isabel said this, for to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder. His shoulders, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Can everybody say Prince of Peace? Prince of Peace. I don't think you guys said it loud enough. Say Prince of Peace.
Prince of Peace.
Whew, I don't know if I can be peaceful right now. That was a little too loud. I don't know. So Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and of peace, there will be no end. That means peace will never end. That God wants to give us peace that's not just a peace for a moment. How many of you have heard your parents say, I just want some peace and quiet, right? I just like a moment of peace and quiet. Could I just have that, please? Or only a moment, right? But God wants to give us peace forever. Now, does that mean we're going to be quiet in heaven forever? Shh, it's heaven. Don't say anything. No, right? They're going to be angels there. We're going to be singing praises to God. And God's going to have awesome things for us to do and great plans for us. But he's establishing a kingdom. And he's going to bring that peace on the throne of David and over his kingdom to establish it and uphold it with justice and with righteousness from this time forth and forevermore. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will do this. Again, we're talking about, the verse was from a different version. But here, I want you guys to know, did you know that there are 109, can everybody say 109? Prophecies of Jesus coming the first time in the Old Testament. 109. Isn't that amazing? In fact, 700 years before Jesus would come, Isaiah would prophesy that he would be born of a virgin. This same prophet called him the Prince of Peace. I'm preparing my students for their midterm, and one of the questions has to do with Jesus coming on a donkey during the triumphal entry. And they'll tell me on that test that a donkey represents peace and a horse represents war. You see, Roman leaders would parade through streets like Jerusalem and go, "We won! We beat the enemy!" In fact, they would light incense and they'd burn it. So when you'd smell it, you'd go, either that smell would bring on, "Yay!" How many of you guys smell cake when your mommy's making a birthday cake for you? And you go, "That smells like birthday." Ooh. Whose birthday's coming up? Jesus' birthday, right? Jesus' birthday's coming up. So you smell that cake and you go, "Birthday memories," right? Oh, that's good. Well, this incense would be burning. But how many of you think incense can stink sometimes, right? Okay? Sometimes that burning of incense, you're like, oh, it's too much. Like, my grandmother just has too much incense burning in her house, right? It's overwhelming, right? But so that incense would trigger all kinds of memories. For the triumphal king and his soldiers, it would trigger victory because he came for war. He came on a horse, okay? He came on a horse, but Jesus, when he came in the triumphal entry, came on a donkey, right? Because he was representing still a declaration that he was king, but he was coming declaring peace. And he would give peace that comes inside of our hearts, and he would give us eternal peace. And when Jesus was at the Last Supper, he would say, "Peace I leave with you, this peace I give to you." And he was speaking of the Holy Spirit coming and dwelling in each and every one of us. That he wants us to experience his Holy Spirit and him to fill us and overflow us and live inside of us. We become the temple. Can you guys say the temple? You guys look like pretty good temples over there. No, but you are. You're temples of where God lives, where God dwells on the inside. And he brings a peace that passes understanding. It's a peace in the midst of the storm. And I know this is for some of you today. A peace in the midst of the storm. And I don't just mean the storm that we just had, but maybe this Christmas season, maybe even today, it seemed pretty hectic and crazy. But the Lord provides peace in the midst of the storm. How many of you kids here know about Peter walking on the water? Raise your hand high if you do, right? And Peter, he gets his first guts, right, to get out there when he looks Jesus straight in the eye. And he's not seeing the storm. He's not seeing the crazy waves. He's looking at Jesus' eyes and he goes, "Can I come too?" Did you guys ever do that? Somebody's getting ready, one of your family members is getting ready to go somewhere and you're like, "Hey, can I come too?" And we try to be a little more suave about it when we get older. "Hey, dude, you want to go? All right, let's go together. It's awesome." Okay? But when we're kids, it's just like, "Can I come? Can I come? Can I come?" Have you guys ever done that? Right? "Can I come?" And so Peter gets excited. He gets out on the water and he's walking on water. He's doing the miraculous. And he's looking at the eyes of Jesus. And then he starts looking at the waves. And he starts sinking. And he starts crying out, "I'm going to drown, Jesus, save me! Save me!" Right? And Jesus pulls him up. He goes, "Peter, why did you doubt? You see, if you just stayed looking at me, and you just kept your eyes on me, I'd give you that peace that's in the midst of the storm. No matter what circumstances are going on, whether it's health or finances, or just maybe sickness, dealing with health, but again, maybe it's a different area. Maybe it's economically for you." So many times we are so quick to get our eyes off of Jesus, but Jesus invites us into the miraculous. He invites us into the supernatural. He invites us into the incarnation, Emmanuel. Do you guys know what Emmanuel mean? What's it mean? What does Emmanuel mean? God with us. Can you guys say God with us? Emmanuel means God with us. He says, "I'm inviting you and me to go together. I want you to come together with me. I've come to bring peace." Peter looked into Jesus' eyes, and that's when he had that peace, that shalom peace, a peace in the midst of the storm. You know, as an adult, I think about when I was a kid, and how peace came pretty easy for me. I didn't think about all the complicated things of the world. I didn't think about politics. I didn't think about the economy. I didn't think about potential wars, rumors of wars. I didn't think about all those kind of things. I just had peace. And I think it has to go back to the simplistic aspect that Jesus wants to give us peace, even that peace that we see take place in the manger scene. All the chaos that Joseph and Mary experienced, but yet God would still bring peace. And God wants to give you peace. Jesus is the Prince of Peace. God wants to give you peace. I've got a thing to tell you that's so important. Jesus is coming back. Jesus is coming back. As we watched in our video, we know and we're familiar, there is a lot of unrest. There are some big storms around us, and I don't mean what just took place this weekend. There's a storm brewing all over our world, and the Bible talks about it. Our video talked about it. This world is tearing itself apart. We live in a very dangerous times. No one has the solution for our world problems. The fuse has been lit. Terror threats are on the rise. With Cuba, Castro's dead, and the world is wondering what's going to happen there, especially us, right? Because we wonder what's going to happen. Putin is flexing his muscles. There's a man by the name of Abdul Khan. He's Pakistan's number one scientist. He sold nuclear secrets to Iran, Libya, and North Korea. How does that make all of us feel? How does that make people feel? It makes them feel fearful. Yet the Bible tells us over and over to fear not. Can you guys say fear not? Can you kids say fear not? Okay, and I'm going to have you do this. Put your bags on the ground. Bags on the ground. I hear a lot of shuffling. Bags on the ground, okay? And so we're talking about the fact that we don't have to be afraid. Our world is shrinking, though, and we need to find a peace that passes understanding, a peace that goes beyond what's going on in the craziness of the world. The reason why Jesus talks about this to John in his vision and the revelation is for us to know God is still in control, and Jesus is coming back. Jesus is coming back. Even though it can all be frightening and it can take our peace if we let it, the Bible prophesied it. God's not surprised all this is happening. See, this is all leading up to good news. Jesus is coming back for his church. He'll be coming in the clouds the same way that he left. God's word tells us that we will be caught up in the clouds with him. It's from a Latin word called caught up. Can you guys say caught up? Caught up. And that means raptura, or raptured. And God is coming for his church. Jesus is coming for his church. And we're going to be caught up in the air to be with him. My kids have talked about it like, so do we suddenly become Superman? Right? Do we get a cape? Right? But no, but God is going to supernaturally do it the same way Jesus went. We're going to go and be with him. What an awesome day that will be. And we need to be ready for it. Jesus will return, and after he comes to rapture us, he's going to return on a white horse. Now remember I said a donkey means what? I'm testing you guys over here. Donkey means peace. Peace. All right. And then a white horse or a horse means war, right? So Jesus is going to come to do battle then. The time of grace and people to get saved and people to know him has gonna be completed. And Jesus is gonna come on a white horse. And he's gonna come to finish off sin and the enemy and all of those that have sworn allegiance to him. And Jesus is coming back. And we know he's gonna be on a horse this time doing spiritual battle. And we will be victorious. So how can you have peace this Christmas? I believe that we can have peace because Jesus came to the earth 2,000 years ago. We can have peace because he went to the cross and he died for you and me. We can have peace because Jesus rose from the dead. We can have peace because he fills us with the Holy Spirit. When we allow him to have relationship with us, he comforts us. He brings us hope, joy, and love. And Romans 15, verse 13. We'll go to that here. Again, Jesus talks about the peace that he was leaving them. But Romans 15, 13 says, may the God of hope, get this word for Advent. It's such a great scripture, kind of pulling it all together. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, so that by the power of the Holy Spirit, you may abound in Him. So how do we have a great Christmas? We have a great Christmas when we abound in Him. When the Holy Spirit so overflows us on the inside that joy and hope and love and peace overflow us. And when everybody else is feeling chaotic and crazy and ready to pull out their hair, we have a peace that passes understanding. And people ask us, how can you like act the way you do? I can't do that. It's not in my own doing. It's in the peace that passes understanding. That He gives me, that He grants me, that He overflows inside of me. That's how it can happen. And we can have peace because He's not finished yet. He's going to set up His government upon His shoulders. He will uphold it with justice and righteousness that will last forever. Now be warned, just like there are fake copies of businesses, there will be fake Christ that comes. We call Him the Antichrist. Can you guys say Antichrist? Fake copies. Now there's fake copies of U.S. businesses in China. And these are actually some of them right here. There's a WooMart instead of Walmart. A WooMart. The funniest one I thought was instead of Kentucky Fried Chicken, there's Obama Fried Chicken. Isn't that funny? That kind of copy? And then they have Buckstar Coffee. I wonder what that sounds like. Buckstar. That's going to take me a while to figure out what copy that is. Right? Instead of the iPad, there is the iPad. And Google threatened to pull out of China, and a week later, they had Guji on the internet, and it looked like a Google search engine. Instead of Pizza Hut, they had Pizza Huh. I don't know if that was like you're about to sneeze and you really need pizza, right? That was a good one. So Pizza Huh, all right? Maybe it's the big bad wolf going to blow your house down. Pizza Huh. I don't know. But Pizza Huh. Instead of iPhone, it's the HiPhone. HiPhone. You want to see my phone? He says hi. HiPhone. All of these different companies that are carbon copies. And just like all those copies, there's coming an Antichrist. And guess what? He will promise peace. And guess what? For 3.5 years, He will deliver on that promise. There will actually be world peace. There will actually be peace in the Middle East, which will sounds impossible to us, but it's going to happen. He's going to trick the world for 3.5 years. And they're going to put marks on them, and they're going to swear allegiance to Him. And then after 3.5 years, He's going to flip it. And all craziness is going to break loose. And I'm telling you that there are fakes out there. There's fakes out there. But I want us to see that we don't put our trust in fake things. Don't follow a fake. There's a lot of things and people and ads. I mean, you can't watch YouTube anymore, which you can't even almost skip that ad anymore, can you? You want to watch a video? You got to watch the whole ad before you actually get to watch your 5-minute clip, and the video advertisement was 3 minutes. I don't think this is better than TV the way it used to be. Right? Like you'd watch 10, 15, 20 minutes of a video, and then you'd watch a couple of commercials. I don't know. But I think about this, and I think about this aspect of how we're being inundated. We're surrounded by busyness, but a lot of it's unrest. We don't have to be a people of unrest. Jesus planted heaven in our hearts. When He talked about the kingdom of heaven, He was describing a peace movement, a subculture, a transformation of every culture that doesn't lose its identity, but instead finds its true identity in Christ. Finds its true identity in Christ. Not homogenized humanity, but fully realized unity with diversity. Every tribe, every nation around the throne of grace. Jesus came into the world during a fake peace. The Romans called it the Pax Romana. The Pax Romana. It was called Roman peace. But it was a trying time. It was a time of tyranny, of Roman rule, with huge taxes and fear-mongering. Jesus came in a time where there was a fake peace, a Pax Romana. Don't buy a fake peace. Don't buy Pax Romana. Don't buy what the world has to offer. The world has a lot of fakes out there. Christ can bring you the peace that's everlasting. His peace, though, causes us to stay up, but not staying up pacing the floor in worry and fear. How many of you kids like to stay up late? Like to stay up late? Oh, only a few of you? Oh, okay, there's more. You guys like to stay up, right? How many parents like to tell their kids to go to bed early, right? So we are continually saying, all right, time to go in. I want to stay up. I want to get up. Everything's up for a kid, right? And everything for a parent's like, settle down. Get down, right? They want to be up. They're excited. They're like, mom, you and mom must be doing exciting things when we go to bed. You watch a cool movie, you know, rather than the fact that you passed out on the couch because you're so exhausted from the day. Right? Like, yeah, it was great. Okay. It was great. I caught like 2 minutes. It was awesome. But you know what? God wants us to have that kid kind of excitement to stay up and wait for him. And I don't mean daily as in, oh, Jesus, when are you going to come back? You're going to come back tomorrow because I'm so exhausted for living for you. If you could just come back tomorrow and have the rapture, that'd be awesome because I'm just exhausted. Do you think God wants the church looking like that? Do you think the church, in terms of when we talk about Jesus coming back, I always thought it was like for old people. I always meant like, oh, just old people want Jesus to come back because they're just so tired. Like, I hate the world, so when's Jesus coming back? I haven't preached, I haven't shared anybody's love, I haven't done anything that acts like Jesus in 20 years, but rapture! That's a bunch of hoopla. We should be living for Jesus every day, and there's an excitement that he's going to return. It's like Christmas. We know Christmas is coming, and we're just so excited about it. So every day we're preparing. We're not exhausted. We're filled with his excitement, his joy, his preparation. And so we want to do everything. We want to sing about it. We want to eat candy canes. We want to open Advent calendars. We want to, help mommy and daddy wrap presents and get ready for the process. Right? That's how we should be. That's how we should be. Not always are we like that, but that's how we should be. That God calls us to a place where we ask him to be that peace. Christ has come to fill your heart with peace. Mandy, would you mind coming up and just playing a little bit on the piano? That would be great. Christ has come to fill your heart with himself if you'll ask him to be your Lord and Savior. Don't wait. We don't just celebrate Advent, the arrival of his first coming that was, again, prophesied 109 times. But we celebrate because he's coming back. He's coming back. And he is the one that brings that silent night, that holy night. He wants to bring that all is calm, all is bright inside of your hearts. Would you bow your heads? This Christmas season, maybe you find yourself that you just want to say, Jesus, be my Lord and Savior. I'm not sure if you live inside of me, or maybe I've been away from you for a long time, and I want to come back to you. As everybody's closing their eyes because we're focusing on Jesus, if you want to pray that prayer and ask Jesus, say, Jesus, I'm not sure, but I want you to come in my heart. Or again, I've been away from you for a long time, and I want you to come live inside of me. Would you slip up your hand? Would you raise your hand? I'd like to pray with you. Amen. I see that hand. Keep your eyes closed, guys. You're thinking about, again, you and Jesus. And I see that hand. Amen. Amen. Any others? And would you just, amen, I see that hand. And would you just say this in your heart? Would you say, Jesus, be my Lord and Savior. I need your peace. I need your peace that passes understanding. I know you came not just as a baby, but that you died for my sin and you rose again. And you give eternal life. Would you be the leader of my life? I commit to following you. I commit to following you today. In Jesus' holy name. Amen. Amen. Well, would you guys give a hand for those that prayed today? And again, if you'd like to pray with me, I'd love to again talk with you. Again, I'd love to encourage your hearts today. Were you guys encouraged by our kids today? Woo! All right. You guys did so awesome. We were so excited to have you guys sing and do everything that you did today. It was such a blessing. So I'm going to close in prayer. Again, we're closing a little early today, and part of that is we have all the kids in the room, right? And also, too, it's just been a joy. Would you bow your heads with me? Heavenly Father, we just thank you. Thank you for the wonderful gift that these children are. I ask that you would bless them. I ask that you would lead them, the teenagers, all the way down to the young little ones, Lord God. We pray that you would bless them, that you would help them walk rightly before you, O God, that they would love you and that they would love you more and more and more and more. God, we thank you for the joy of Christmas. Help us to be childlike and to have a heart that's full of peace. In Jesus' name, amen.